Thank you for the opportunity to present today, John Kelly, 21913, on behalf of the appellants. Would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal if it pleases the court. The first issue I'd like to address is the motion that was filed, or the appeal was pending, to dismiss it for mootness. It is the appellant's position that it would be fundamentally unjust to dismiss the appeal as moot due to the fact that the scope of injury to the plaintiffs is far greater than the subsequent action taken by the board and by Empire Electric following the initiation of this appeal. Empire Electric relies on the case of Del Vibis, 729 Pacific 2nd, 353, for the proposition that the appeal has been rendered moot. In that case, the complainant, the appellant in that case, was appealing an order that specifically related to a single project, a smokestack on a coal facility. The issue here is substantially larger than that. This is industrial zoning. The subsequent action that was taken here is but a small part of what can follow in an industrial zoning request. In Del Vibis, once the construction project was completed, there was simply nothing else to talk about in that case. The plaintiffs, the appellants in this case, have a whole world of things that they're worried about with industrial zoning. By the Empire's own admission, there's simply a light commercial aspect on one-third of the industrial zone. The rest of it remains in agricultural use. There is a tower that was constructed that could have been constructed even if the property had remained in agricultural use. Here, the plaintiffs are concerned what's going to happen with the other two-thirds of that property. What kind of change of use can happen with the one-third of the property that has already been approved? Would I respectfully argue that it's a very different animal than the very narrow issue that the Supreme Court said in Del Vibis was limited to the facts of that case. Here, the case is much more analogous to Russell versus Central City. Empire Electric has made an issue out of the fact that in Russell versus Central City, the issue with the Rule 106 proceeding was very narrow. That had to do with a special use review decision. And the main thrust of the complaint in the Russell versus Central City case had to do with the Rule 57 declaratory action relief. The court in Russell, the division of this court, decided to distinguish this from Del Vibis and said, listen, this is different because the Rule 57 proceeding involved determining whether or not the entire amended ordinance was properly adopted. And if it was improperly adopted, the scope of harm that could come to the plaintiff was substantially larger than just the construction project that was at issue. I don't think that it's a material distinction that if it's a Rule 106 or a Rule 57 proceeding. I think that the material distinction has to do with the scope of the harm. In Russell versus Central City, an entire ordinance is at issue. In this case, an entire zoning designation is at issue.
I gather that there are other uses by right in the industrial zone other than the one that is being specifically pursued in terms of this project.
That is correct. That's what I would argue. Anything can come up in an industrial zone. Who knows what might be next? And what the appellants are concerned about is exactly that. What might be next in their agricultural, residential, light commercial setting? And that is the concern. Even if this court were persuaded that it must employ the develop, de verbis equity test to the facts of this case, it doesn't necessarily follow that the appeal is rendered moot. In the Wells versus Lodge Properties case, 976 Pacific 2nd, 321, a division of this court found that even though the appellant in that case, the project had gone on, that the appellant had sought to stop the construction project, it was not rendered moot because the project was not complete, and because in that case the defendants, the developer, continued on with construction with full knowledge that the legal challenge was pending. If you go back to Del De Vilbis, the developer there had already obtained the building permit when the case was filed. I think that's an important distinction between the two cases. Second point I would like to address today, I think from reading the responsive briefs, it doesn't appear that there has been a significant opposition to the idea that the county commissioners, in rendering their decision, didn't mention, didn't consider Montezuma County Code Section 3111.1 when creating this new industrial zone. 3111.1 specifically establishes some criteria that the county commissioners were required to consider when creating an industrial zone. I would argue that that's not harmless there, that's not immaterial, that goes right to the very heart of the case. The difference between Section 3111.1 and the general 3202.2 code section, I think, is twofold. One is 3111.1 specifically requires the commissioners to consider the setting of the new industrial zone and whether it is an appropriate setting in light of existing residential and agricultural use patterns. That's a higher standard, that's a broader standard, that's a tougher standard than the general standard that the county commissioners are to consider with other types of zoning requests.
Did they consider it?
It is our position, Your Honor, that there's nothing in the record that mentions where they looked at 3111.1, and I don't believe that that found its way into the county commissioner's decision.
Well, their statements talked about a kind of a broader county development purpose, right?
And I'm sorry, Your Honor, statements
from the various commissioners as they were debating this.
I believe that they did discuss that having Empire Electric move their facilities would serve the interests of the county. And I don't recall that they discussed that that would, this particular location was the only location, or would this particular location would serve the interests of the county. But in a broader sense, I think that is correct. The commissioners did discuss that this would serve the interest. But in terms of whether this particular setting, as the code requires, it's our position that wasn't addressed.
Counsel, can I ask a question that's off point for a moment? I understand that your client property is unzoned.
That's correct.
I not read the county code. Unzoned property is limited in its use to the pre-existing use or any use?
It's limited in its use to its pre-existing
Okay. Use.
And if I could address that issue a little bit further, it's our contention that unzoned is a bit of a misnomer, because a county is allowed to zone a particular region. Let's say that, you know, a county wanted to zone the northwest region of the county where it's more of more developed, more residential use, more commercial use, but they wanted to leave the southwest area that's farmland and really relatively undeveloped. They can exclude an area of the county from the zoning code. That's not what the county did here. They took the entire county and said this is all subject to the land use code, but there's a voluntary sign up for certain types of zones, and if you don't comply with that voluntary sign up, than recalling you unzoned, but if you're unzoned, you can't do anything different than what you're already doing.
We're right at 5 minutes. I think there's other questions.
But Council, let me ask you a question. You keep referring to 3111 of the zoning code, but I think you mean 3311, do you not? The industrial zoning provision?
But it's entirely possible.
Oh.
That's why I was looking through the papers.
Addressing,
it's entirely possible.
Yes, addressing 3311 then, it seems like there are two criteria that you suggest were not met or not considered by the board here. The first one is that they didn't make a finding that the establishment of industrial zoning met, or that there was the existence or establishment of infrastructure capable of supporting it. That's part of your argument, right?
That is correct.
Tell us, if you would, please, and what does it mean to have infrastructure capable of supporting industrial uses? In other words, what would be required under this provision of the zoning code?
Well, I think factually specific to this case, is a proven supply of water that would meet not only the needs of the industrial zone, but also for fire protection and safety, health, and welfare for the zone itself and folks around it.
Sorry to interrupt. They did talk about a well being available, did they not?
That is correct. And when you look at that code section, it talks about establishment or existence or establishment. Just because theoretically that you could obtain a well permit and would have to be, I think there's evidence there would have to be an augmented well in that area. There's been no engineering study. There's been no evidence presented whatsoever that if you drill a well, you're going to find water or potable water in sufficient quantities to meet the needs of an industrial zone. Only that, yes, you may obtain a well permit to drill there, not that you're going to be successful in actually finding water that can be used.
Does that mean that the water must be sufficient to serve any of the uses by right in that zone?
That would be our argument, yes. And particularly the uses that are proposed by the developer.
And the second sentence of 3311 says that it's contingent upon a setting where significant adverse impacts can be avoided or mitigated. You argue that there was no finding on that, but wasn't there a finding on that under the other provision of the zoning code?
You know, I would argue that it's a different finding, that it's a broader, it's a heightened finding. That code section talks about setting, where you're looking at, it kind of envisions going back to the comprehensive plan almost, but where you're looking at, is this particular setting appropriate for an industrial zone? So I think it's a heightened standard. You're looking at a bigger question, maybe a more important question than you are with other types of zoning that doesn't impact neighboring properties as much. And if I may, I'll reserve the last minute and a half or so. Thank you.
May I please the court? Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Shay Denning, attorney registration number 36736. I'm here with co-counsel John Bylow Spear, registration number 13878. We represent Empire Electric Association. Your Honor, we have agreed to divide our time up with 9 minutes for Empire and 6 minutes for the Board of County Commissioners, and so I'll try to only take 9 minutes today. This case involves two primary issues. The first is whether the Board of County Commissioners erred in granting Empire's request for his rezoning designation from AR 35 plus to industrial. And the second question is whether this case has been mooted by the subsequent event of the Board of County Commissioners in granting a high impact permit and a planning and development plan. I would like to address the merits of the appeal first and then move to the mootness question. With respect to the question of the merits of the appeal and the rezoning designation, the court should review the Board of County Commissioners' decision de novo and only overturn the Board of County Commissioners' quasi-judicial actions if there is a lack of any competence evidence on the record to support that decision. Your Honor, Empire argues that there is substantial competent evidence on the record to support their decision.
Well, could you, sorry to interrupt, but could you address argument made by opposing counsel on, I guess it's 3311 on the water, adequacy of the water?
Yes, Your Honor. With respect to the water, there is, I believe, a total of 4 letters from the Montezuma Water Company. Those can be found on the record at Volume 2, pages 124 and 126, Volume 1, page 294, and Volume 3, page 27. In addition, there are 2 letters from the Division of Water Resources found at Volume 3, pages 367, and Volume 3, page 86. I would point to the second letter from the Division of Water Resources, which is at the page 86. The last paragraph of their letter says that water can be made available for this project. And in addition, the letters from the Montezuma Water Company, Empire would argue, would speak to water being available. And based on those letters, the Board of County Commissioners found that there was sufficient evidence to show that utilities were available or could be made available.
And that was through, in the case of water, that was through a well, is that correct?
It looks like that there were 2 options for it, and there are 2 options for Empire. The Montezuma Water Company can provide a tap that would be sufficient, according to their letter, for Empire's purposes, or the Division of Water Resources indicates that a well could be drilled. Now, the standard, Your Honor, is that resources are available or can be made available, and this is a judgment call on the Board of County Commissioners' part to say, is there sufficient water there? They made a specific finding that sufficient water was there, and Empire would argue that that is competent evidence on the record to support their decision. Your Honor, there are 3 standards, as alluded to by the appellants, that the Board of County Commissioners should have looked at when determining whether to grant this zoning application. And those issues have been addressed in briefing, and I will not address those specifically unless Your Honor's request. I would like to move to the issue of spot zoning as raised by the appellants. The argument is that the Board of County Commissioners engaged in impermissible spot zoning because they zoned this property as industrial whenever there weren't other industrial zoning designations around it. The hallmarks of spot zoning are found in Clark v. City of Boulder and Karen v. Board of County Commissioners, which was cited by all parties. The standards are that it singles out a small area for deferential treatment from nearby and similar parcels, and that special treatment is inconsistent with the relative comprehensive plan. In this situation, Your Honor, I would point you to the record at Volume 3, page 86, which shows a map of the 2-mile radius around Empire's proposed parcel. I would point out that this is a project that is located less than 2 miles from town through a commercial corridor off of State Highway 491. In my quick count, I found between 50 and 75 commercial parcels that the record shows were similar in makeup to the project that Empire is proposing. And now, it is true that there is not another industrial zoning designation in this area because those parcels are listed as unzoned. In the Montezuma Comprehensive Land Use Plan, this is a landowner-initiated zoning where Montezuma County does not decide to zone a piece of property unless the landowner requests it. In this situation, the landowner hasn't requested it because these are historical uses. And so, therefore, this is not a large industrial complex located in the middle of pristine farmland where we're having smoke belching out into the ozone, etc. We were talking about a project that is 1/3 light development, 2/3 agricultural, located along a highway that is surrounded by commercial properties that are similar to that. And this is something that is consistent with the land use plan because it is something that the Board of County Commissioners is asked to weigh. On one hand, the ability of a property owner to do whatever it wants with its property versus the concerns of neighboring parcel owners as to not wanting to decrease the value of their property. The Board of County Commissioners looked at both of these decisions and made findings that it would not decrease the value of the adjoining neighbor's parcel and that this was consistent with what was going on within the rest of the county or in the rest of the area. Therefore, Your Honor, substantial competent evidence exists on the record to show that this is not a case of spot zoning.
I just have one quick question for you. The appellant cites section 5105.3 of the zoning code, although it's not in the appendix of the zoning code itself. I take it you don't disagree that that section applies here, and it says water supply. An adequate supply of potable water shall be available to each lot in a subdivision. I don't find it in the zoning code because it's not in the appendix, but you don't dispute that that applies to this situation? You seem to know all the numbers very well. This one you don't have down. Okay.
I'm not familiar with that one, but with regard to the issue of water, I would argue that that it was a judgment call on the Board of County Commissioners' part, and that there was evidence that could be read both ways. They decided that water was sufficient.
My concern, frankly, is that this provision of the code, if it is what the code says water shall be available. The findings by the board are that public services and utilities are available or can be made available, and I'm not sure that can be made available necessarily satisfies this section that says potable water shall be available, but I don't know if this is actually part of the code or not, and I'm not sure exactly what finding they made with respect to water.
And if I do have a copy of the code as cited in the record, I can look for that if Your Honor would like.
No, I
would argue that the standard that the Board of County Commissioners should apply is found in section 3202.4, which says that utilities are available or can be made available. Thank you.
Police Court. My name is Bob Slaw, Montezuma County Attorney, registration number 10116, representing the Montezuma County Board of Commissioners. With regard to the question on that section, I believe, of course, the code is in the record, and I believe that section is specifically relating to subdivisions because the actual word in there is subdivision, and it actually came from the statute relating to subdivisions. So that is primarily the direction of that particular paragraph. In other words, residential subdivisions. That's what that's primarily directed to. Now, of course, the code as I've argued, obviously has to be interpreted in its entirety, but I think it needs to be considered in the context of which that particular requirement is written into the code. And then when you come back to the question about the utilities in this particular location, the kind of the unusual situation here is that we have an electric company being considered to be locating in that particular location. So one would assume that they would have electricity. Then there's a water company on the other lot that's the Montezuma Valley Irrigation Company, which is the existing company that's already on tract A, I believe, in that plan that's being discussed here. And so we have, even though the water company that's located there is not specifically dealing in potable water, but it has water, and so this is one of those situations where there's a water company involved and an electric company involved in this particular case, and they're being located, assuming that this zoning is upheld, and that becomes the critical issue in this case. Because, once again, I agree with Empire Electric on the merits that the industrial zoning should be affirmed, but I don't agree with them on the question of mootness because I cannot honestly say that I think the law says that. So I wish I could, but I can't say that. So in terms of the question of mootness, Empire argues that the case is moot because zoning doesn't matter anymore, and it's moot because they have a vested property right. Well, I think the issue about the zoning not mattering anymore is allowed because zoning has to matter. If it doesn't matter, why have it? And so I would take the position. Okay. I would take the position that zoning is like a legal foundation upon which subsequent legal structures are built. And I'd like to take an example from the physical world in which we live. any residence or skyscraper or whatever building has to have a proper foundation upon which to build the rest of the structure. And I submit that the zoning is in fact the legal foundation upon which all subsequent legal structures are built. When I talk about legal structures, I'm not talking about the actual building. I'm talking about high impact permits and PUDs, planned unit developments, and so forth. So it's my position that zoning is critical.
Council, this raises an issue that I have. I it's my understanding that at least in some zoning jurisdictions, the idea of a PUD, planned unit development, is itself considered a zone district. But I gather that that's not the case under the Montezuma County resolution. You that's must correct. Have underlying zoning that's before correct. You can get a PUD. Is that a fair
correct.
Statement?
That's correct, because the statute that provides for planned unit developments, the state statute, provides that the zoning must be supportive, or I don't remember the exact word, but it has to be appropriate zoning for whatever PUD may be.
So, all right. So the county, the statute that relates to county zoning then requires underlying zoning before you can get a PUD. Is that what you're saying?
That's my interpretation of the statute, and the code is written
all right.
that way. That's my understanding of it. And so, because if the zoning here goes away, then as long as the zoning, if it's upheld, then I think it would probably have a vested property right because of the things that happened after this case went into court. They were based on the industrial zoning. So the industrial zoning is critical. But just to point out the problem here, in the case of Russell versus City of Central, which is one of the cases that's been mentioned, the language that I'm talking about here has not really been pointed out, but I think that it's very important. And it's not exactly the same situation, but it indicates on page 436, that's Russell versus City of Central, 892 Pacific 2nd, 432, Colorado Appeals, 1995. And it indicates that if the present zoning action is invalid, then any future action premised, or in my word, predicated on that present action, would likewise be invalid. So there's a serious question here. If the industrial zoning goes away, it can't be said that they automatically have a vested property right because of something that's happened subsequent to the zoning, because it was predicated and premised upon the industrial zoning. So and for this court then to decide that this case is moot, this court, as I understand it, the Empire's asking the court to say, either zoning doesn't matter, or they have a vested property right. Well, I submit that zoning does matter, and they don't have a vested property right unless the industrial zoning is upheld. So that's basically the position of the county. And it's important because, you know, future things that may happen on that property, the county needs to know if that industrial zoning is valid or not. So the county's interest here is to have a determination as to whether or not that zoning is valid or not, because it can affect not only this situation but future situations. And then as far as the merits, the board's decision is supported by competent evidence. The issue was fairly debatable, and that whole line of cases that I cited in the brief indicate that if it's supported by competent evidence and it's fairly debatable, then it must be affirmed. And the board did not exceed its jurisdiction or abuse its discretion or misapply any law. And under that information police case, there is no spot zoning, and there is no denial of equal protection of the law. Thank you.
It pleases the court. The issue of the water, I think, illustrates why it was important for the county to have actually applied the industrial zoning standard rather than the more general zoning standard to the facts of this case. That infrastructure must exist or can be established. I think that the record is clear that the Division of Water Resources couldn't really comment on whether or not there was an adequate supply of water, given that Montezuma Water Company had not conducted any kind of a study that the Division of Water Resources needed. yes, they can give a tap to Empire Electric, but the Montezuma Water Company could not, there was not the evidence there that the infrastructure existed or could be established. And I think that really highlights why, one of the reasons why it's so important for the county to have applied the correct standard in creating the zone. The other issue about the water, the fact that one of these two businesses is Montezuma Valley Irrigation, there it was never discussed in the briefs, and there's no evidence in the record that there's some kind of a spring coming out of Montezuma Valley Irrigation from which all irrigation goes through the county. It's an office, and I think the record is pretty clear on that. The issue before the court for this appeal is not what is the effect of the court's ruling and what's happened while this appeal has been pending with respect to the PUD and the high impact or the permit that Empire has acquired, but the issue is whether is the industrial zoning valid or not, and the other issue later may have to be sorted out in a different proceeding. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel, for your excellent arguments. The case will stand submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.